Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
And you want to take a look at that passage? We're going to be getting there eventually. Some of you have been telling me that you've been praying for me. I appreciate that. My mom's still continuing to decline, and we expect her to pass last week. They're keeping her pretty well sedated right now. So yeah, it's just a matter of time. But I do appreciate your prayers, and so thank you for that. I appreciate Lorna's introduction today, because we're going to be talking a little bit about the love of God and some other things, but how she had us put our names in the slot of "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And for the world, we each replaced our own name. Now, some of you were leaning in and listening to your neighbor because you've introduced yourself for the third or fourth time and you're afraid to ask a question. I don't want to ask this person's name again. So yeah, I appreciate that, Lorna. Thanks. It's all good. Well, we're halfway through a series entitled Trusting What God Says. Over these 5 weeks, we've been looking at five truths that are not only fundamental to your Christian life, but it's fundamental to living out what God has for you in this life. And the five truths are these. Let's say them together. God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And the word of God is alive and active. Today we're looking at I am who God says I am. I spent a lot of time mentoring and discipling people. And, you know, when you're doing that and you're working with people, you have to help them free up from their past so they can move forward. You have to help them to create a vision of what God has for their life and their call and purpose in this life. You have to help mentor them to implement that call and how to live out that call. But before you can do any of that, you have to answer that identity question. Who am I? Who am I? You know, if you are in your teens to mid-20s, this is the primary question of your life. This is the question that you're spinning over and over again. You know, if you get that question settled as to who am I, it takes less prominence in your 30s and 40s. But as you establish yourself in your career and in your life, now you find yourself, okay, well, I'm moving forward. Is this who I want to be? And especially if you find yourself in a dead-end career or a difficult marriage, then you're struggling. Is this who I am? What do I do with this? And then, that's what a midlife crisis is all about. Now, when you get to your 50s and 60s, you start to think about, okay, well, what kind of legacy I want to leave? But when you retire, this question emerges in a different way. Okay, I have freedom, but who is it that I want to be? Where do I want to put my energy? How do I want to live out the rest of my life? You start to ask yourself, well, am I useful or am I sidelined? Am I significant or am I less significant as opposed to when I had a job? Periodically, throughout life, you're going to ask the question of identity. Who am I? And if you don't develop a good base from which to answer that question, it can really play havoc with your life. Now, if you were to listen to our culture, the only thing that matters is your sexual identity. Are you gay or straight? Are you male or female or something less binary? Well, our sexuality goes deep within us. It's not the most important thing about you. The deepest and most important question about your identity is, what kind of human are you? And, you know, That's a really hard question to answer. It's a hard question to answer because it's hard to figure out what's true when we're asking questions about ourselves. See, if your mom tells you that you are the greatest thing since sliced bread, you think, oh, thanks, Mom, but you know she's biased, right? If your dad tells you you're worthless and won't amount to anything, you get angry, but then you secretly wonder, is he right? Your friends will tell you about yourself, and you know that they're great people, but when you hang around them, you know that they don't always get it right. Then there's how you feel about you. Your feelings are always valid because they are your feelings, but your feelings are not always truthful. Some of you struggle with the way you look. Others struggle with their personality. And if you're struggling with addictions, wow, self-worth takes a hit with that. And if you struggle with self-image, it's hard to tell, are my feelings lying to me? Do what I think about myself, is that true? I'm afraid that it is true. I don't know that it's true. So generally speaking, we're trying to figure out who we are and at different stages of life in different ways. And here's the way we normally go about figuring it out. I am not who I think I am. And I'm not who you think I am. I am who I think you are. I am who I think you think I am. Catch that? So it's not my deepest sense of who I am comes from not me and not what you're actually thinking about me, but it comes from what I think you're thinking about me. And the more important the person is to you, the deeper and louder that voice speaks into our identity. And we use people, either their stated opinion about us or just an impression we get about what they're thinking about us, as a mirror for ourselves. And that, by the way, that's why words matter when you speak to people. When you cut them down or when you encourage them and build them up, words do matter. Labeling somebody as a loser or as a failure as a way of cutting them down. We use other people as mirrors to try to figure out, who am I? If you have children or grandchildren that are in the teens and 20s, you'll see that everybody kind of has this, they want to be part of a group, because if they can get a part of the group, then they can have a sense of belonging and get a sense of identity. We do that in different ways as we grow older. We use other people as a mirror to find out, who am I? The problem is that although we were made in the image of God, when sin entered the world, that image got shattered, and so we just have vestiges of the image of God, and so we are warped mirrors. We don't always get things right. We don't always reflect things right. So I reflect you back through my brokenness and my hurt, and you do the same to me. If you've ever been to a fair and you've seen those warped mirrors, those curved mirrors, if you've ever been to one of those fun houses, you get the idea of how we reflect to each other. It is an image of ourselves, but it's not a real image of ourselves. And that's what we often do to each other. So we reflect incorrect images of each other, but those reflections are how we tend to think about ourselves. You with me so far? Okay, good. So where do you go to get the truth then? Get the truth to answer the question, what kind of human am I? The question gets even more complicated when you realize that most of us put on masks and to pretend to be somebody we're not. We think if people really knew who I was, then they wouldn't like me. And so let me put on a mask that gives off the impression of who I think people want to see, or whether I'm okay with repelling them, long as I repel them with something that's not really, really me. And so we all tend to wear these masks, and we don't really see what's going on inside. And there's something good to be said about civility, right? You know, you don't have to say everything that's on your mind all the time. Sometimes it's good to hold back. Like, I mean, I am really thankful that when I preach a boring service, that not all of you feel the need to come up to me at the back of the church and say, "Pastor, that was really boring," right? You know, there's something to be said for civility, and I appreciate that. But the problem comes when we start to believe the masks that we put on. We have told ourselves for a long time that we are this or we're that, and we're making this projection to the world. I'm competent, although I don't feel competent. I'm kind, although I feel I'm loving, but you know, really deep down, am I? And we project that out, and then we start believing that about ourselves, but it doesn't reflect the truth of who we really are. And so we kind of live in this false reality, or the old mystics would talk about a false self. And it's really hard to mature a false self, because God doesn't give grace to grow something that's false. He only gives grace to grow something that's true. And so we're struggling with that. We've got this mask on. We have what people are telling us about ourselves. We have what we think people are telling about ourselves. We have what we think we want to be, but we're not, but we're trying to project that we are. And then a combination with all those things, we try to figure out, well, where am I to get data from? How can I objectively figure out who I really am? And so here's what we do. We go to some place where we can get some objective data. We go to the area of performance. Some of you are good at music or academics or science or math or sports, or some of you are good at carving or computers or being the craziest, most outgoing person, or you're really spiritual, or you're the most attractive person in the room, or you're the most knowledgeable about Japanese anime. I don't know what your particular niche is, but we all have a niche, whether it's to cook or to build. We all have our thing. And that's fantastic. And if you do it for your thing for a long time, you get competent at it. And you get this sense of performance. And, oh, I'm a really good whatever. And it's great that we all have these different things. That's fantastic. The world would be a really boring place if we were all the same. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Before we were born, God knew us. He's wired you to be creative or mathematical or musical. He's wired you in these different ways, and that's a wonderful thing. And you spend a lifetime of adventure discovering who God wants you to be and how He's wired you and who you are, and sharing your talents and gifts with others is just a fantastic and great thing. But what we do wrong is that this tends to be the place where we collect data about what kind of human being we are. This tends to be the place where we look for our significance and our security. That was never God's intent. See, if you look for your significance and security in your performance, you always know that, well, something could go wrong. Something could go sideways with what you're good at. And you know that instinctively, and so you have this feeling about yourself, oh, I'm a fantastic cook, but will I always be? And if your identity is based on that, well, things can go wrong. Because, you know, if you're a singer and you lose your voice, but you have identified as this is where my worth comes from, well, what are you left with? And you know that can happen as a singer. Or, you know, you're an excellent worker, but something happens that you can't do physical work anymore. If that's where you've gathered your data from for your self-worth, for who you are as a human being, then you know that there's this inside you, ugh, something could go wrong. See, God never intended that we would connect data from our performance. But we often do, and this is where we get our significance and security. But if you look for significance and security in performance, you'll always know that something could go wrong. God intended that we discover who we are and how we're wired from a solid platform, a platform of significance and security. So you know who you are, and then when you do stuff like singing or baking or being an expert in movie trivia, whatever your thing is, if you have this underlying thing and you built what you're an expert in from there, that even if that's taken away, then you still have a sense of, I know who I am. So God comes around and says, I want to give you better data. I want to give you a better sense of who you really are so that you can walk well in this world. I want you to know who you are. So he comes to his people, followers of Jesus, people who have given their life to Jesus. And this is what he would tell you. I am not who I think I am, and I'm not who you think I am, and I'm not even who I think you think I am. I am who God says I am. And when you make that jump from the impressions of people to what God thinks about you, all of a sudden a foundation is developed. Your heart becomes more solid and secure, and it sets you up well in life. I know in my life I've had to come back to this again and again and again. I am who God says I am. Now, we read a little earlier, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Some people have trouble taking God as his word, but God says that you're loved. You're deeply loved. He loves you. He knows your name. He calls you by name, and he loves you. That's the truth about you. That's the first thing he would say about who you are. The second thing that he would say about who you are, and we don't like to hear this, is, but God always tells us the truth about ourselves, that you and I are sinners. We have a broken relationship with God because of sin in the world and what we have done. And the Bible says that there's none who are righteous, no, not one. I know that sin isn't a popular word in our culture, but God will always tell you the truth about yourself. If I am who God says I am loved, but I am also a sinner. And the problem with sin is that unless sin is dealt with, then it affects our relationship with God. We can't have one. See, we're spiritually separated from God. He's totally alive, and in our sin, without Christ, we are spiritually dead. But Jesus comes, and he says, if you will reach out to me in faith and ask me to forgive your sins and come into your life, I will make you spiritually alive. I will give you a new life and put a new life within you. And so he invites us into this walk with him. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're made pure, you're made clean, your sin is taken care of. And if you come to the Lord and say, come into my life, he has a way of doing some incredible things. And God will do what he says he will do when he's promised to forgive, when he promised to cleanse, when he promised to make you part of his family. So if you are a follower of Jesus, and then you start to ask the question, what kind of human am I? Well, God has a lot to say to you about that question. God has a lot to say to you about who you are. And the question is will you take him at his word or not? I am who God says I am. If you will allow that faith to sink deeply in your soul, then you will see what God has for you. God's perspective of you. Listen to the Apostle Paul. This was read before. Listen to it again. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely as from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. So we stopped evaluating people on the basis of, you know, what I think they are, even what I think they think I am. Because we've come to know Jesus in a different way. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Who does God say you are? You are a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this is a gift from God. It's not that you've earned it, you haven't done your performance to make it happen, but God has given you this new life. Who does God say you are? You have a new life, or to use Jesus' words, you've been born again. Your spiritual life has been come to life. Instead of being dead and separated from God, you are made alive so you can relate to God. And all of verse 18, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to himself. So God has given us this task of inviting others to know Christ so that they too can see who they are. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. No longer counting people's sins against them. So you're part of that people. You're forgiven. Your sins aren't counted against you. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation so that we are Christ's ambassadors and he is making this appeal for us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God. For God has made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sins so that we might be made righteous. Right, might be made right with God through Christ. You've been made right with God. That's part of your identity. Let me read verse 17 over to you again. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. You're saved by grace. God no longer counts your sins against you. You've been reconciled to God. You've been brought into a relationship with God. You're a new creation. And with this new creation, what's happened is that you've been given a new identity. You've been given a new way of being and of looking at yourself. And if you can see yourself as God sees you, then all these things start to fall into line. I wish we had time to study, do a Bible study on what the Bible has to say about yourself. We don't. So let me just list a few things that the Bible says. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a child of God. You are beloved. You are deeply, deeply loved. God delights in you. You are forgiven. Your sin that you've done, it doesn't count against you anymore. You've been washed clean. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. God places His Holy Spirit right inside you. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've been adopted into the family of God. You're a child of God. You're His son or His daughter. You're a co-heir with Christ. There is a lot that you inherit because of that. You are an inheritor. You're righteous. You're made new. The Bible even calls you a saint, and I know that that's a stretch for some of you, but you are a saint. You've been set apart. You're Christ's ambassador. The Bible even talks about us as being a sweet aroma to God. And you think, I blow it again and again. God looks at you. Somebody says, my, do you smell great? No, you have just the sense about you that God loves. Bible calls you God's masterpiece. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made whole in Christ. You are raised with Christ. You are indeed blessed. And those are just a few of the things that God says about you. And let me tell you this. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. You've been made new. I am who God says I am. Can you say that with me? I am who God says I am. One more time. I am who God says I am. And God says all those things that we just listed about you. Those are the kinds of things that act as a bedrock to your soul that you can build your life upon. You're building your life on Christ and on what He has done for you. And because of that, your identity is in Christ. And so when you ask the question, what kind of human you are? Well, I'm beloved by God. I've been made clean and righteous. Now here's the thing. All those things are true about you. And they're true about me. They're true about anyone who's received Christ into their life. But some of you, all of you, know you're not perfect. You know there's pieces in your life that are broken. You know, there's some hurting places. And you have the sense that, yeah, I'm stretching to believe I am who God says I am. But, what's going on? Because the me I see and in me and the me I see through God's eyes, they're a little different. And what do I do with that? And to tell you the truth, most of us don't really know how deep sin has sunk into our hearts and how warped and distorted that's made our hearts. And so we respond out of that warpedness and we don't reflect God in the way we're made to reflect Him. And God is in the process of restoring His image in you so you reflect Him well, but it is a process. He's in the process of restoring His image of goodness and kindness and you're being conformed to who He is rather than the world. So when you ask the question, what kind of human are you? I'm a new creation. I am in Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm God's child. I'm walking in relationship. That's who you are. But you also have to say, I'm in process. God is restoring His image in me. God is helping me to become what He's created me to be. I am who God says I am, and I know that God takes me right where I am, but He wants to restore His whole image to me, in me. For if you entrust what He says about you, if you can see yourself from God's perspective, then that will allow you to build on a foundation of your identity in Christ so that you can walk well in this world. What has God said about you is often replaced by the loudest message that was said to us in our childhood. If you got the messages of love and grace, that's fantastic, but you know, whether it was the bully on the schoolyard or whether it was a parent who was also doing their best, but they gave you messages, our hearts get warped. And that warpness plays out in, we have this kind of song on loop. You know, we play the song or the saying over and over again in our life. And we each have this different recording that is unique to us. But some of you say to yourself, oh, I'm no good, or I'm not smart, or I'm not who I want to be, and it goes on, or if you've had abuse, I'm dirt, I'm full of shame, and it goes on. You keep on telling yourself these messages. And the first step for you to move into living out that I am who God says I am is to identify the loop that's going on in your head. You'll notice it plays often. And what you're going to do is you're going to see that loop and you're going to say what God says about himself. And what God says about you in his word will be in opposition to what that loop is saying because you've had a poor reflection from another person. And you're going to have to start consciously replacing that loop with what God has said. Best way to do this is think about and look for some verses that speak directly into what God has says about you that opposes the loop that you're playing in your mind. And you start going over those old things and those old memories and those old things, and God says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You memorize a verse like that, and when your heart, when your mind starts spinning, you start to say, oh, there's that prompted to quote that message. Again and again. Now, as you grow a little farther in your faith and as you've started to replace those messages about yourself, you're going to have a deeper revelation of God's love for you. And when we sin, when we yield to temptation, when we don't like ourselves, when we wonder how God could like us, but you will find that God's love for you has sunk in to a deeper level. And you will know that God loves you anyways. That love goes so deep. You want to spend time with him because that's where you will find your center. That's where you will find the anchor point in your soul around which all of life revolves. Now, when you get to understand who you are in Christ and you still have to figure out what your calling is, yeah, are you called to be a plumber or a politician or a journalist or a janitor, a writer, a washer, a pastor, a painter? And that calling often changes in retirement, but you will still be called the same. Determining who you are going to be is not done in a place of first trying to find significance, but it comes out of a place of being truly loved and truly wanted by God. It comes from a place where God calls you his very own. It's then that, well, I know what God says about me. And I trust that God, I am who God says I am. And when that trust grows, so it becomes a foundation. Then you can take on life's adventures. Life happens, and there's good things, and adrenaline rushes, and hard things, but they don't have to shake your foundation, because whether it's been a good week or a bad week, I am who God says I am. Your success doesn't define who you are. Your failures don't define who you are, because you are who God says you are. And in this adventure of life, you're discovering in each stage how God wants to shape your life. But the only way to get there, only way to really answer the question, what kind of human are you? is to hear what God has to say about you and trust him. I am who God says I am. Let's pray. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, sometimes my feelings say one thing and your word says another. Lord, help me to trust your word instead of my feelings. Sometimes messages from the past say one thing and your word says another. Help me to trust what you said. I pray for each person in here that they would deeply know that they are who you say they are. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.